So, brothers and sisters, I didn't even have time to prepare scriptures for you because I was just concentrating on what God has laid in my heart. But I can promise you everything that I will quote from the quote is from the Bible. It's truth. All right. I won't be sucking anything out of my thumb. While I was away, I was just thinking about my wife and our marriage. Did I marry her for companionship? Or because I was lonely? Or did I marry her for my sexual desires? Or just to produce offspring? And I realized, no, it was all for the glory of God. It was to portray the love of Jesus for his bride. My brothers and sisters, the way I love my wife is an act of worship. The way she submits to me is an act of worship. And that is why God hates divorce. Because thus, a divorce does not reflect the image of God. Jesus will never, ever leave his bride. Then I just want you to look around. We at this conference, it was very similar to what Andre, Iran, and this conference was all about Turkey, the least evangelized country in the world. Out of 75 million people, there are 5,000 Christians divided into different denominations. I just want you to look around you this morning at the wonder, another miracle, the body of Christ. And, you know, every one of you sitting here is so precious to God. And is such a precious member of this body. The Bible says nobody has ever seen God. But Jesus lives in us. And the only glimpse that the world outside will ever have of God is by looking at the body of Christ. How do we reflect him? You know, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then later on he says, you are the light of the world. Do we reflect a bright light or is it just a dim, shining light? You know, last Sunday, when Yanni shared at the annual general meeting, you know, a lot of things happen in our church, but it's, you know, spaced. And when he condensed this, I said, wow, is this what God has been doing through this body? I was so proud. I know we can only boast in the cross of Christ, but I was so proud of what God has been doing and is still doing through the church. My brothers and sisters, we've got a wonderful pastor and his wife. Appreciate them. Love them. We've got such wonderful members in our church. And to think that God is shining his light in this dark little spot through us is just too marvelous for words. And when I hear what those Turkish pastors say, we are such a crowd here. Then there are three people gathering. That's our church. Then he hears of a family who has found Christ, father, mother, and a daughter. They've got no support system, He's got to travel 11 hours by car to go and support them and welcome them into the family of God. And here we have everything going for us. What a privilege. How we should appreciate all God has done for us. But brothers and sisters, yet there are these small niggly things that causes soos of ons in modder stap, that causes disruption and that stops us from reflecting the true image of Christ to the world. Klein dingetjies wat ons omkrap. We rub each other the wrong way. And I just want this morning, I want to, for instance, if you walk in here into this auditorium in the morning and many seats are taken, and you look around, where will I sit? No, there is an empty space, but that one is too dark or too light. I can't sit there. Or I'd rather sit at the back because the mannerisms of the preacher totally or just offends me. Small little niggly things. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the reasons that really stop us from reflecting the image of Christ, and that is taking offense. Om aanstoot te neem. Ons neem so maklik aanstoot en dit bederf ons verhoudinge. Now I want to read to you from the Message. This is from Luke 17. He said to his disciples, hard trials and temptations are bound to come, but too bad for whoever brings them on. Better to wear a millstone necklace and take a swim in the deep blue sea than give even one of these dear little ones a hard time. Be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you, or repeated 7 times through the day, and 7 times he says to you, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, forgive him. The apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. Another translation says, Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, or stumbling blocks must come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Verse 3 says, take heed, watch out to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him also 7 times. And it is as if in exasperation, the disciples said, oh Lord, increase our faith. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking to leaders this morning. And you must hear me close. Everyone, we've got the pastor and his wife, they are leaders of this church. We've got the elders, cell group leaders. In your job, you're a leader. In school, you might be a leader. Varsity, you might be a leader. Whether it's the ushers, being a leader of the ushers, everyone is a leader. And at the least, you have to lead yourself. Otherwise, you've had it. So I'm speaking to leaders this morning. The Greek word for offenses or stumbling block is called scandalon. That's where we get the English name to scandalize. And the root of this word comes from the way that they used to hunt animals. They would dig this hole and camouflage this hole with branches and leaves, and then they would put a piece of fresh meat on top of this. This meat or bait of the trap was called scandalon. Jesus warns, things are going to come along in your ministry, in your everyday life, in your role as a leader. And if you take the bait, you take that bait, you will fall into the trap in the pit. And against all leadership in these last days will come strong baits and deep pits. And be careful that you do not fall in. And God is going to humble us in these days in a way that we will find offensive. But it is God who is doing it. And God often causes offense. And it is not always evil. But many times, God brings the offense not to do it to you, but to do it for you. Let's take our first example. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and God respected it. Cain brought best fruits of his own efforts. Verse 5, but God did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was deeply offended. He was very angry. My brothers and sisters, do you know that you can serve God with your ministry gifts, but do it in a fleshly manner? People might respect you, but God has no respect for it. And Cain becomes a classical example of rejection. His best efforts were not appreciated. Whatever you do in your church, nobody appreciates it. Cain goes to his brother Abel instead of to God, verse 7 and 8. That's strange. When we are offended, we go to someone else for sympathy. Do you know what they said about me? The Bible doesn't say what Cain and Abel talked about. And I'm sure Abel did not sympathize with him and said, oh, you poor darling. I believe Abel just told him, why don't you do it the right way? Why don't you bring what God wants, and it will be accepted? And Cain was again offended, and he slew his brother. He murdered his brother for telling him the truth and being faithful to him. And today we have brothers and sisters slaying each other with words and attitudes because the brother or sister was faithful and told them the truth. Verse 11 and 12. The land becomes cursed because of his offense, and Cain's ministry starts to dry up. He took the bait, and he scandalized, became offended, and his ministry was no longer fruitful. God was trying to get his attention. Verse 12 says, Cain becomes a vagabond or wanderer. And today we find so many Christians and even pastors who cannot get into relationships. They jump from church to church and from ministry to ministry because they have an offended heart. They cannot stick and then become vagrants or wanderers. Why? Because they picked up an offense. They come to church, someone says something they don't like, and off they go with the same pain out. Now they watch television occasionally, hop to some special meetings or conferences, but never fully fit in. They become Christian wanderers with no home, no relationships, because of an offense in their hearts. And my brothers and sisters, sadly to say, there are quite a few of those people here in Franschhoek, and even of them that used to fellowship here in this church. Verse 14. Here we have a classic example of a persecution complex, paranoia. Everybody's out to get me. Why don't they recognize my gift or singing or ministry or in the church or my preaching? Why am I not received? Because of the offense in your heart. 2 Samuel verse 6. God offends even King David. David wanted to bring the ark back, the glory of God. He wanted to bring the glory of God back. And David tried to bring the glory back with methods used by the Philistines on performance, techniques, personality, all kinds of gimmicks. Doesn't it sound like some of our charismatic methods? He wanted to bring back on a new card. And it's amazing that God did not kill Uzzah or someone else sooner if we had given specific instructions of how to bring back the glory or the ark of God. And when Uzzah stretched forth his hands, because this new method wasn't working, because now he was going to help, and God slew him. Just think of Abram and Sarah. God told them they would have an offspring, but then they tried to help God. And the result is that even today, Ishmael is the biggest thorn in the flesh of Israel. My brothers and sisters, we all want God's glory to come to our churches and to our nation. But the problem is that God is not a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a charismatic or Dutch Reformed or Russian or American or a Boer. And that frightens the H-E double toothpicks out of all of us. God, we wanted you to come, but not like this. We wanted you to come and do a nice thing, but he did not. He did not do it that way. If you invite him, he comes, but he will come his own way. And most of the time, it scares the death out of us. Have you noticed? Whom of you have read the history of the Azusa Street Revival? That was the birth of the of today's Pentecostal church, Azusa Street in America. Ordinary black preacher said, we cannot go on having church in our own power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And there they waited on the Lord, and God came. And everybody started speaking in tongues again. And a great revival happened. And that was also, in the early years, the birth of the Pentecostal movement in South Africa. All the denominations rejected it. This cannot be of God. And God had to go to the mining camps, in the shacks, with the poorest of the poor in South Africa. And there, the Pentecostal revival was born. My brothers and sisters, think about the revival of Andrew Murray here in Wellington, just next to us. Remember when they were praying and the Holy Spirit was so present that night? People were lying on the floor crying and weeping and laughing. And Andrew Murray came and he uttered those famous words, God is a God of order. This cannot be of God. Until somebody, a stranger from the outside came and said, keep quiet. I've seen this same thing happening in America. So rather keep quiet. I remember the first time I had such an experience was at the Bible school in Kiev, in Ukraine. It was a Friday morning. I was preparing my message for the weekend. Early in the morning, when all of a sudden, one of the students rushed into my apartment. He says, Pastor, please come immediately. You've got to come to the lecture hall. We ran down there. What chaos. People were lying, students were lying all over the floor. The lecturer and his wife was crying, he was laughing, and everybody was laughing and rolling around. And all the Pentecostals and the Baptists were standing wide-eyed, not knowing what was happening here. The pastor must come and save the situation. And the pastor had no clue of what God was doing here. Here at the at our conference on Turkey, Dutch Reformed Dumni was telling me, in a town not very far from us. He had his church, and God was starting to move in his church. And they were very excited about this. He says, but one morning, when the guitarist got in, just to test his guitar, twang, and everybody fell like dominoes. And he says, God, this cannot be of you. What are you doing? And he was started phoning all over the country, first in his own denomination. Nobody could help him. So he went outside of his denomination and asked, what is happening in my church? So when we invite God in, he is not going to do it our charismatic way or the Pentecostal way. He is going to come. He's not going to come in the way my Bible school told me he would come, or my Sunday school. He just walks in and makes himself at home. And our tendency is to stretch forth our hands towards the ark, the glory, to stop it. You're dead, my brother and sister. But what will those new people in our church think? And I hope nobody speaks in tongues today. And just the opposite always happens. It's funny. On one side, you want everything to happen. And on the other side, you don't want it to happen, but then it does. And then you are offended with God. I can remember. This is exactly what happened to me. The first time my mom, because we were in a Reformed church, the first time my mom ever attended a Pentecostal church, I said, Lord, please don't let anybody speak in tongues just after the worship, and because I know Danny Farley is going to speak in tongues, and this one's going to prophesy, and this old man is going to lift his hands. Don't do it. I'll tell you what. We didn't even start worshiping when Danny Farley went off in tongues, and my mom nearly broke her neck jerking around to see what was going on. But you know what? The next meeting, I try to make an excuse. Mom, let's go and do sightseeing. She says, no, I want to go to church. Because she experienced God in a supernatural way that she'd never, ever experienced him. Yeah, so we are offended. And David was offended. I want to defend my Baptist or charismatic order. But God is busy with a new order, my brothers and sisters. And if God starts moving, don't stretch out your Baptist or Pentecostal charismatic hand to try and stop God. David was angry, verse 8. David had such a good motive or thought. He thought God would be pleased with what he was initiating. But God was not pleased. But the good news is that David got over that offense, because he spent 3 months in the Word of God, and he found he had not sought God's glory after the due order. David found out that the fault was not with God, but with David himself. And you may find that the problem is you and your pride and your fear of man, and it's not God. Matthew 15:12. Jesus offended others. Offended at your word, the Pharisees. Jesus did not say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll just hop over and apologize to the Pharisees. He said, listen carefully, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Listen carefully. There is a certain kind of offense that is the very will and purpose of God. If God has not planted a man or a woman or a ministry, God will allow offense to come to cause them to be taken out of the way. If God has not planted a man or a woman or a ministry, he will cause offense to come to take it out of the way. And my brothers and sisters, and all the visitors, don't join this church because of the good praise and worship, or for the nice tea and cookies afterwards. Be sure that God is planting you here with a purpose, so that you can help reflect the glory of God in this dark world that we're living in. And God is deliberately doing to the Pharisees, doing it to a church and in your life, to root up what he did not plant. Sometimes we plant a bad crop. God never plants a bad crop. So God is going to use the word and circumstances to root up what he did not plant. And whilst we are moving into restoration in these last days, God is busy altering the pattern and order of the church that existed. Often the word of God becomes an offense. And the word of God will particularly annoy people with a religious tradition. For instance, evangelicals, Pentecostals, and Baptists. And of course, we as charismatics have also developed our own traditions. Jesus also did not wash his hands before he ate. And it is sometimes as if he's going out of his way to provoke offense. And he is. And in fact, he was saying, repent of Pharisaism or move. My brother and sister, remember, when you are in the army, you either lead or you follow. And if you don't do those things, then get out of the army. If we compromise our message or ministry to bring peace to these critical, rebellious people, you will be working against God. And he's trying to bless you by moving out what he did not plant. And he uses offense. Matthew 11. Jesus and John the Baptist. John was the first person in the new covenant to identify Jesus in his grown-up form. When John baptized Jesus, he says, behold, there is the Lamb of God. He had received the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. And then John was imprisoned by King Herod. Jesus did not attempt to get him out of prison or even to go and visit him in prison. We have no record of John ever praying in prison, but rather that he was offended. Verse 3, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? But this is the same man who identified Jesus. And now he sends his staff to check up on Jesus to let Jesus know, I am offended by the treatment that you, Jesus, gives me, the forerunner of the kingdom. Verses 4 to 6. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is being preached to the poor, and tell him, God blesses those who are not offended because of me. Jesus perfectly understood John. My brother says, listen carefully. God can get along just fine without you and me. But God is dealing with something in you and in me. Our motivation is wrong. You want to be kingpin. Go tell John the Baptist, this is what we are in for. The scriptures are being fulfilled. But some of us want to be part of the fulfilling. John had served his purpose. He had said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. Of course, the trouble is that John did not decrease. That is, not until he had his head chopped off. John did not get it right. Jesus is not interested in fulfilling your destiny, but God's destiny. And if he chooses you for martyrdom, etc., it is his prerogative. It is just a privilege to work with him. John 7, 2 to 5. Here Jesus offends his own family. His own family did not believe in him. Jesus lived in an unbelieving family. Maybe you have an unbelieving spouse or a loved one. Jesus knows exactly what it's like. The unbelief of his brothers was so strong that even his own mother starts wondering. And this after the virgin birth and the angelic appearances. We read in Mark 3, verse 20 and 21, Jesus was now healing everybody, and unclean spirits were leaving people, and he had just appointed the 12. Verse 20, and the multitude came together again so that he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. Verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Verse 31, then his brothers and mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. My brothers and sisters, his brothers and mother were coming to the meeting to take him away. They were not coming to the meeting. Have you ever picked up an offense by someone else's zeal? Toe julle ouens. Hier daar's iemand hier voor, spring op en af. And you sit at the back and you're offended. Is it really necessary to go crazy like that? Now Jesus here is full of the Holy Spirit. And he's on fire. But his own family is offended. I wanted my husband to be saved, but not this. Now he's going too far now. He can take his bed and go and sleep at the church for all I care. Watch it. Do not be offended. Chronicles 15 verse 29. Michael, the daughter of Saul, looking through the window, saw King David dancing and playing music. And she despised him in her heart. Michael was offended. You acted shamefully. And you made me feel like a fool, she told him. And I believe David just said, you ain't seen anything yet, baby. What is about to happen in David's tabernacle is really going to upset you. My brothers and sisters, she did not become barren because of ovulatory problems. She became barren because David never slept with her again. And allegorically, if you get offended in Jesus, in what Jesus is doing through others, you will be smitten with barrenness because the bridegroom will have no intimacy with you. Barren in your ministry and in your church. It may not be your cup of tea, whatever God is doing through people. But let the other guy at least have a good time. Don't be offended. Jesus did not pamper them. Who is my brother and who is my mother? He who does the will of God. John 6. Jesus offended his disciples. Verse 53. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the Jewish disciples were disgusted. Jesus, you don't say that to a Jew. He was being untactful and flagrant. John 6, verse 60 and 61. He says, is this a hard saying? Verse 61. Does this offend you? My brothers and sisters, in these days, God is shaking our theology, our eschatology. Watch out. Does this offend you? Jesus said to Peter, do you want to leave me too? Peter says, to where? To what? You have the words of eternal life. In 1 Peter 2, verse 6 and verse 8, he says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The Jews stumbled because they were disobedient to the word Jesus brought. He brought the offense quite deliberately to bring to light what was in their hearts. They had no intention to obey his word, so he made it specifically difficult and hard. And if God is going to make a leader out of you, he's going to use a process of offending you. And my brothers and sisters, how are you going to be rejected like Jesus and not be offended? It is easy to be humble when you are on top, but not so easy when you are not. But as God is busy to move in the church in these last days on earth, Haman has arisen to destroy, but Esther is being prepared, and offenses will increase. Now, if the Baptists and the Reformers and the Evangelicals, there are there those among you here, you thought the biggest offense was speaking in tongues. That is baby stuff compared to what is coming in the kingdom of God. If we cannot handle the offenses, there is no way that we will be able to stand. If we are approaching days when God's power is going to move in the church, and if he has not produced men and women in leadership who can handle being offended without relationships being broken and people being hurt and angry, there is no way you are going to stand under the trial of adversity in these last days. Matthew 21, verse 42 to 44. This other nation, Peter called it, the holy nation, the chosen generation, the treasured treasure, we are called to obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice and speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing, and giving. If you don't obey, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. Matthew 13, verse 20, the sower. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. In other words, he is offended. And if you look over all over the world, everyone is doing in his church whatever he wants. God says, if we don't build according to his pattern, his glory won't fill it. Remember when Moses was told to build the tabernacle? It had to be exactly according to God's plan. Moses didn't even give one suggestion of alteration, exactly according to God's plan. And when that temple was completed, God filled it with his glory. God is busy with all of us. There's still a lot of work to be done in each one of us. But I can promise you, my brothers and sisters, if we work according to his plan, he is going to fill this place with his glory. For generations, the church has been doing like Israel in Judges when they fell into idolatry and immorality. Everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. But God is changing the pattern and the order. The world in some cases, the word in some cases, becoming an offense. Just look at it. They say Genesis is a myth. The virgin birth, it's been argued, it's impossible, it can't take place. The resurrection, if you're dead, you're dead. You do not rise again from the dead. Gay marriages, the word has become an offense. But God needs people of obedience, faithful and of authority. And if you are a sergeant, don't try to be a general. God rewards faithfulness and not rank. A sergeant will receive the same reward as a general. Hallelujah, I'm an apostle. But are you faithful? When God measures people, He does not place a tape measure around your head, but around your heart. And remember, brothers and sisters, if nobody else approves of me, I can live off Him because of an intimate relationship with Him. Jesus would offend everybody except God the Father. And Jesus' offenses must come to reveal what is in my heart. There's an Old Testament scripture. I'm finishing with this. He says, Moab is my wash pot. In other words, Moab is my abrasive. Dis my skrobborsel. God het die Moabite gebruik om Israel te skrob. He uses the Moabites to really ruffle the Israelites. God uses my unsaved husband or my unsaved wife as an abrasive. Or maybe He uses a charismatic wash brush. Or He uses a callous leader. But He uses that to perfect each one of us. God uses all things to help you to be a blessing and bring you to the place of mature sonship and obedience. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, all the ways, all the circumstances up to now in your life have been ordered by the Lord. He says, I led you there. He used it for His purpose to humble you, to test your heart. My brothers and sisters, I remember in the early days of this church, while I was busy in the pharmacy and trying to plant a church and whatnot, and we had people of so many different backgrounds gathering together. And whenever you saw a little thing going wrong, whatnot, for instance, we had one dear sister here, she used to be a hairdresser. You know what happens in hairdressing salons? I mean, that is the burger and SABC all in one. You get all the news there. Whatever happened in our cell groups or in our little gatherings on Sunday, Monday morning, the whole town knew exactly what had happened there. And one morning, she came into the shop just after a bomb had exploded again. We had done this, we had said this. She came, and I called to the back. I said, Sister, this and this I've got against you. She went on her knees. She repented with tears. Her life was changed. Another instance, a brother whose wife could never stop gossiping. And I had to address him. He was so offended, he brought another brother with him to me. The first words were, but what about your wife that she's doing this? What about your kids that's doing this? So offended that for years our lives parted and we never spoke to one another. How are you going to approach your brother and sister? Now immediately, in this last instance, if anybody touches my wife or my children, then I react in the same spirit. And I went for him. I was offended. And I lost a brother for many, many years. Fortunately, Lord has restored the relationship again. That is so many little things that we are being offended with one another. That does not reflect the true character of Jesus Christ. And He's doing all this, allowing all this to bring it all into the light. Let us appreciate what we have. We are so blessed. And God, I can see the day, you know, such wonderful things are going to happen in and through this body. And I'll tell you what, if ever again in future, I believe that when Shofar Band is advertised as the main attraction, it won't be banned from HQ, it'll be Franz Joachim Shofar. Great things are going to happen. But don't let these niggly little things stand in our way and cause division to come. I cannot make an invitation because this is a sensitive thing. But my brothers and sisters, I beg you, if you know that you have offended anybody in this church, offended any brother and sister, go to them in love and apologize. I know people say that I've got a sense of humor, but I know sometimes my sense of humor is quite warped. And I want to apologize if I've ever offended any one of you. I want to love you from a pure heart. I want you to love me the same way. Let us just pray together. Father God, thank you that this church is for your glory. Our relationships is for your glory, to reflect your image to a broken world. Lord, but sometimes in our own relationships we are so broken. Some of us are so vulnerable. But Lord, if you have planted us here, and we believe, Lord, that every member of this church has been planted by God, Father, I pray that our minds and our hearts will be open to receive you in whatever way you come to this church. Lord, but we do not want anything of the flesh. We want to know that it's the Spirit of God working in us and changing us more and more into the image of Christ. Lord, make us sensitive to the needs and the feelings of my fellow brother and sister. May your name be glorified. And we say, come, Lord, come. Do a new thing. If we've been using new cards to try and bring your glory, show us. We don't even want to stretch forth our hand, Lord. Come, Lord, in your fullness and in your power. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.